With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back, Junkies All 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by a Johnny Cake Sawville.
Yes, sir.
And Jason Bishop, running the three-man show today. Is EB going to be back tomorrow? I didn't even know he was going to be out today. They're taking Stevie back to college.
I assume he's back.
He's doing that drive
he'll be back to
Poughkeepsie. Never been to Poughkeepsie, New York. Couldn't tell you where it is on the map.
My buddy Rob, who was at the surprise 50th birthday party for Eric on Saturday, told me, you know, his son is a senior, and he told me that his son may go to a school. I hadn't heard of it. Kalamazoo. It's in Michigan.
I mean, you've heard of Kalamazoo, Michigan, right?
Yeah,
kind of.
Heard of the town.
Kind of.
I didn't know there was a school there.
But I mean, I wouldn't.
Wait, is it Kalamazoo University, or is there? I think it's one of the directional Michigans.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But it was just one of those deals where he's like, he may go there. We're going to go for this visit. I'm like, so do you fly there? Do you drive there? The drive is like 9 hours.
Yeah, it's kind of a tweener destination.
It's a long drive for EB.
It's six. It's kind of long. It's a long time in the car.
See, you've been hooked. Your kid went to Maryland. He's going to go to Maryland Medical School.
Yeah.
Drive to Baltimore.
Yeah, your boy's saving some cash. Speaking of Baltimore, I believe that's where our next guest lives. It's Jason Lockin for Radio.com Sports NFL Insider. Insider calls are brought to you by the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans.
By the way,
Jason.
Yes.
JLC. By the way, Kalamazoo College is in Kalamazoo, but so is Western Michigan.
Right.
I think it's Kalamazoo College.
Gotcha.
Anyway.
All right, JLC, what were you thinking when you were watching the Ravens just implode against the Titans?
Yeah, you know, it was kind of like the perfect storm. I mean, they couldn't get out of their own way on either side of the ball. You get out-physical in the trenches. You get out-mental, you know, with the mental mistakes and errors, the ridiculous special teams gaffes. You know, about seven or eight drop passes, two of them that were absolutely critical. Then you get out-mental from the coaching aspect as well. I thought Greg Roman got his lunch stolen from him by Dean Pease. I know they were dealing with some injuries, but he just abandoned key personnel groups for long periods of time. He went to an empty set repeatedly when he still had a fullback and at least two running backs who could have restored some balance. I think they panicked. I think they had to play from behind and do some things they weren't accustomed to doing. And, you know, and Harbaugh, I understand what's in your DNA chasing points all year, but this is a very different scenario than you faced all year. And your season is on the line, and when you got a chance to hit a chip shot to make it 14-9 and have scored on the final drive to end the first half and the opening drive of the second half, I think you could have settled everybody down.
Yeah.
And instead, you get stuffed on a 4th-and-1, and it leads to another huge momentum swing in the football game. So they got outsmarted, and they got out-hustled, and they got beat up. And that's how you end up being the one home team of the weekend who loses.
Yeah, I was thinking about that when I was watching it. And, you know, it was the first possession of the second half, and it was 14-6, and Tucker's not going to miss that kick. I get it. Now, I know what their, you know, the percentages and all their metrics say on 4th and short, and they were really good. But I thought the same thing. I thought, just make that field goal. It's 14-9. Now the Titans have to think a little bit more because this team is now legitimately coming back into the game. But hindsight's 20-20. I get it.
Sure. And that's who they've been all year. So it's not like he's fronting or trying to be something he's not. But I think you also have to factor in the scenarios playing out in that specific game, not the 9 million permutations of any random game that get factored into the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Jason, is there going to be growing buzz in the next coaching cycle after the 2020 season for Arthur Smith from Tennessee? Not only, obviously, for what he's done with Derrick Henry in that offense, but the rehab on Ryan Tannehill and what he's done since he became the starter there.
When you're a quarterback guy, you can go from relative obscurity to people, you know, wanting to interview you in a matter of, 18 to 24 months, and he may ride that crest. There's not a ton of, the next guys or the it guys. I mean, Kevin O'Connell would have been on that list if you made me make one in the spring of last year. You know, that's the dude who was looking for work a couple weeks ago. So it can cut both ways, and you can go from wanted to not wanted and, nobody to everybody wants you in a short period of time. I thought he's been masterful. Look, when you've got an offensive line that's mauling people the way they are right now, and you've got a running back, I don't know that we've ever quite seen this guy. I mean, he reminds me of Earl Dickerson. I mean, of Earl Campbell. But then when he breaks away, he's like Eric Dickerson. I don't know. He seems pretty unstoppable right now.
He's special.
He really is. But look, the way that Arthur Smith has handled Tannehill, the way he's reacted under duress. I mean, they've basically been playing elimination games for 2 months, and I think he's done a masterful job. And yes, A.J. Brown flashes some, but, he had to really cultivate Jonnu Smith. And, Corey Davis, I think that's going to looks like a bust to me. So again, it's not like he's sitting there with the plethora of weapons that, an Andy Reid has. So, yeah, my hat's off to him. He's earning people's respect by the week, and that's a team that has basically made you want to look the other way offensively for 5 to 6 years, going back to Ken Wisenhunt with Mike Mularkey as his OC, right? And then Mularkey gets the job, and they run the ball even more. Then LaFleur gets the job. He runs the ball more than Mularkey, and not particularly well. For what they've become, I think he will start popping up, on some of these hot lists if they keep this going next year.
I'm not saying this was the difference in the game because they got thoroughly outplayed from the opening kick. But the fact that Ingram's calf was hurting him, for me, was a huge deal, because that's a guy that they would give the ball 15 to 20 times in the regular season, and they couldn't go to him. Now, they didn't give it to Edwards either.
That's the problem, though. I get it. So now they came into the game knowing Andrews is going to be limited. I thought they would just save Andrews for red zone. They didn't. They used him earlier than I thought they would, and then he ended up missing a period of time. Yep. Nick Boyle, who is such a key to their run game, he was out for a while. So I get Greg Roman sitting there saying, how many tight ends do I have? Who's up? Who's not? Is this guy ready? And him just scrapping it to some degree. But you don't go empty set, 4 or 5 wide for, basically the third quarter in response. You still have a stud fullback who I think he only played 7 snaps. That's ridiculous. Gus Edwards was a handful for them, and they're not great against the run. You've got to show some willingness to stick with it. Now, the other problem, though, was, their offensive line was getting whipped, particularly in short yardage situations, and they've been playing a backup undrafted center, most since Matt Skura had a season-ending injury, and he had held up until when it really counted, and Jarrell Casey, he beat him up pretty good.
Yeah. I'm kind of bouncing around here. I'm going to bounce to Sunday's first game because that's who the Titans are going to play, Kansas City. They're down 24-0. Then they outscore Houston 51-7. Mahomes goes crazy. Kelsey was unguardable. We can all question what Bill O'Brien decided to do. I don't necessarily question him on the field goal as I do on the fake punt, but things just got out of control real quick for Bill O'Brien and the Texans.
Yeah. The one thing Bill O'Brien was right about is, it was probably going to take 50 points to win this game. But then what does that say about your football
team? I know. Yeah.
I mean, to just so flippantly cavalier, be like, well, you guys can rip me for doing that, but I knew we needed a 50-burger to win. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, maybe you shouldn't have traded Jadeveon Clowney, Hoss. You're the GM, too.
Right. That's true. It's a very good point.
Happened. You did that.
Does he have a reputation around the league of just being a bad in-game coach?
People who really study it, and particularly the analytics community, absolutely.
Yeah, they hate him.
Yeah,
absolutely. he's been one of the most predictable play callers in the NFL. He's waffled between doing it and letting somebody else do it and then taking it back. And look, when you oust a GM in Brian Gain, who was like the least recognizable. Like Brian Gain was not a guy who was into power struggles and wanted his, you know, face in the newspaper and like was out there working it with the media and, you know, was a quote factory. Like he picked Brian Gain to work for him. O'Brien already had the power. And then when you do what you did in the spring, and now you got to be the GM too. And then you do what you did for Tunsil, right? And you mortgage two drafts for a left tackle without having any semblance of what it's going to cost to keep him. And you do what you did with Clowney, where you basically pay half of his salary and then get, you know, whatever, not close to true value for him because you wait until, you know, right before the season to trade him instead of doing it in the spring when you knew all along he's not signing a long-term deal with you. And you do this in the last year where Deshaun Watson is one of the biggest steals in football, and you should be opening windows and not closing them.
Hmm.
Okay, man.
Yeah, well, yeah, they pay the price. Now, before we get to the NFC Championship game, that matchup and your thoughts, I didn't think the Titans – I thought there was a shot they could beat the Patriots. I didn't. Once I looked at the numbers, I go, how did they beat them? I mean, how do you let Henry just go crazy when your quarterback throws for 70 yards? I said, there's no way they're going to do that. There's no blueprint where you can throw for 70 yards and beat the Ravens. I was wrong. I got to think the blueprint's going to be the same against the Chiefs, but like you said, you're going to have to score some points to beat the Chiefs. And Tannehill's going to throw for more yards than that.
And I said that again. I'm with you. I'm like, well, look, there's a way they can beat. I didn't think it was going to be a slam dunk for Baltimore. I thought it would be a tough game. I thought Baltimore would pull away late and make the game look like more lopsided than it was because I thought they'd stick with volume in the run game and wear out that defense. Instead, that's what happened to them. Could Tennessee do that to Kansas City to some degree? Yeah, I mean, they could. I mean, look, Tennessee's not trying to fool you. They were snapping the ball under 5 seconds in the first quarter. Like, they were out to bleed the clock, and I'm sure that'll be the same thing at Arrowhead, but I think it's going to take more than one splash play out of play action. Like, it's going to take two or three, you know, 50-yard passes, you know, explosion plays out of Tannehill. I think he's got to be in the, you know, at least flirting with 200 yards. But his attempts, I don't think his attempts are going to, you know, are going to change drastically unless, you know, Kansas City's lighting that defense up from the first, you know, from the opening salvo. And look, the way Mahomes played once guys started catching the football for him, it did look completely unstoppable.
This will be one of the biggest upsets, this run, in NFL history, to beat who they've beaten the way they've beaten them all on the road. It doesn't happen.
No. I mean, you have to go back to 2012 when, right, Baltimore, they beat Brady, they beat Manning, when they had the run with Flacco.
Yep.
To find something close. But for these guys to do it this way, where, you know, we're talking about a running back, really. You know, when you think of that team, you're not thinking Tannehill first per se. You're thinking of a running back, and they don't have a transcendent defense. I mean, the defense is middle of the road in pretty much every way, shape, or form. You know, but they've obviously brought it these last 2 weeks.
Talking to Jason Locke on 4Radio.com, Sports NFL Insider. Insider call is brought to you by the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans. All right, so all the coaching vacancies have been filled. Of course, Ron Rivera here in Washington. The last one goes to Kevin Stefanski. He'll be heading to Cleveland. How surprised are you that guys like Josh McDaniels and Eric Bieniemy didn't get a gig?
Yeah, I'm a little surprised. Sure, there also weren't nearly as many openings as most people anticipated, and frankly, as would have been justified. There are some ownership groups that just weren't up for the fight, didn't want to spend, you know, 10 days or 2 weeks of their vacation flying all over the country, interviewing people, scheduling interviews, changing interviews, you know, spending 8 hours in a room talking football and organizational skills. They just didn't want to get punted, so that had something to do with it. You know, Bieniemy is, and both these guys have been through the cycle for a while now, and sometimes when that's the case and you're doing multiple interviews in a lot of room in a lot of years and either not leaving the room with a job or, in Josh's case, having turned some down before, I think it can, you know, make things more difficult for you. And look, sometimes there's factors that, at least in Josh's case, are out of your concern. When your head coach is pushing somebody else into interview slots that he's refusing to let you interview for, and when your agents, I'll just keep it real, like prioritize Matt Rhule over you, and to some degree, you know, Mike McCarthy, then you can get left at the altar. I think if Josh McDaniels had got the first interview with Carolina, and I say first meaning before Rhule, they have the same agent, I think Josh McDaniels is offered the Carolina job, and I think Matt Rhule would have had a big offer from the Giants, probably not the same that he got from Carolina, you know, but nonetheless, you know, he could have had, you know, an interesting decision to make as well. But there's a lot, you know, how the sausage is made sometimes is kind of ugly, and some of these agents, when, you know, you're representing four or five guys in the same hiring cycle and they're all interviewing for the same jobs, they can't all get the first interview, and somebody can be left at the altar.
All right, before we let you go, NFC Championship, the second game on Sunday. Two former Skins assistant coaches. They played in the regular season. San Francisco destroyed them 40-8. Kittle killed them. They got five sacks on Aaron Rodgers. I expect a tougher game from the Packers, but what are your thoughts on the matchup?
I have been a Packers skeptic all year long, including last night when I thought they'd lose. And if Brian Schottenheimer let Russell Wilson play, I think the Packers do lose. But that didn't happen until after the half, and they're already down by 18 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think San Francisco's defense can stifle them, and I don't think Davante Adams is going to be enough. I think San Francisco can out-physical them. And you can run on Green Bay. The problem is that it's kind of like some of these other teams. They always play with the lead, so nobody really does it. Kyle will do it. You know, Kyle's going to run the football. So I do like San Francisco here. I think they're the best team in that conference. I think they've won games a bunch of different ways. They've won games where they've had to come back from the dead. They've won games where it's over at the end of the first quarter. And they've won tug-of-war sort of four-quarter bloodbaths, won most of them. They lost the one in Baltimore, but, you know, they've won some real tight ones with Seattle. I think they're super battle-tested. And, yeah, I like them, but Green Bay's also been proving me wrong every week, so what the heck do I know?
Yeah. The Niners-Chiefs would be just a great matchup. It really would.
Yeah, I think it would. And look, I know he was in the Skins division for a long time, and that Eagles rivalry is fierce. But Andy Reid is a quality human being. And there's a lot of people who know Andy Reid or been around Andy Reid or just been Coach Cower, who was never on his staff or anything, but they came into the league at the same time, who really feel like, you know, there'd be a lot of people who are happy for Andy Reid if he's able to shed this, you know, January, February bugaboo thing and get himself a Lombardi.
It'll be interesting.
All right, Jason.
Appreciate the time, man. All right, have a good week.
Have a good show. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Jason Lockenfor, Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Calls, brought to you by the new gas-powered spinner from Mercedes-Benz Vans. Remember, coming up at 8:45, we will talk some Caps hockey with Lars Eller, center ice with Lars Eller, right here on the Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. I know Jason has said in the past you may move in the next couple of years. I don't know if you're going to wait until your youngest daughter goes to college.
Still pondering.
And maybe you're going to stay, but I know last week during one of the breaks you had Zillow up.
Yeah, right. And he's always like, looking at properties.
I'm always looking to see what's out
he's
there.
Looking, what's wrong with
he's
that?
He's looking at Hasbro pools. And so
yeah, I got one.
My wife and I have been kind of casually looking over the last year. And yesterday we actually went to a couple of open houses.
Really?
Here's the problem.
Look at that.
No, but we've been doing that for a while.
That's interesting.
But this is the problem with going to open houses. Even if, like, for us, we're probably not going to do anything for another year and a half, maybe even 2.5 years.
Right.
You just start getting sized every time you go.
You like looking at the new sillies.
You look, and unless you're looking at a dump, which we've done that before. Like, before we moved into our current townhouse, we went through this phase of looking for houses. And there was one on Zillow that looked amazing. The pictures were unbelievable, Jason. Right. Yeah. And I wasn't interested in
silly staging.
But my wife was interested. It had a pool in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
But the price, like in that neighborhood, it was like, why is this house affordable to us when the rest of the houses in the neighborhood weren't affordable to us?
It does not make sense.
And the pictures, again, like 50 pictures on Zillow, they looked unbelievable. And then we walked in, and my buddy Cokie, who's my realtor and friend, goes, no go. Because you could see, like, there was, like, mold, which they didn't show. And the pool. Yeah.
Not looked, crown molding, mold.
The, right. The pool.
Yeah, you don't want mold.
The pool, which looked great in the picture, looked like it hadn't been cleaned in 3 years.
Oh, they hooked it up
it
for the pick.
So, like, they, like Cake said, staging, it was.
The, staging is key.
They did the best job of taking pictures. But when you go to a place that's actually nice, that matches up with the pictures, you get sized, and then you're like, but we're not ready to move. What are we doing?
Yeah,
and you
I don't
start
know.
Thinking, it's like,
you get these weird thoughts in your head.
It's a weird thing. Like, Jason's looking at Zillow right now.
I like so looking at the pictures.
You get sized,
yeah,
but you might not be ready to do it.
Well, there's some things I got to do to the house. I actually had someone come through the house, and we kind of just wrote a little checklist on
before you sell.
And I got like 15 or 16 things. Now, a lot of them are just minor things, painting, touch up stuff, but. Yeah, I mean, it's just a pain in the butt to move, but I want to move because
you're going to downsize a little bit.
There's certain things about my house that I liked when I first moved in, but now it's just worn on me over 14 years.
Right.
I've owned the house for 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
And my mind's just telling me it's time to go.
It's time to go. Time for change of scenery.
Yeah, it is.
Now, you actually.
But I'm not sure where I want to go.
Yeah, you're not going to go further away from D.C., are you?
If I went further, it'd just be Leesburg, so it'd be 10 minutes further.
Still, that's...
Yeah.
I mean, you already got a long commute.
Add that up. Okay, add up a lot of 10 minutes.
I don't know where we're going to be working after our contract's up. I have no idea. I have no idea if they're going to retain us after our 3 years. They might. I hope they do. I'm going to charge them more.
Never know what's on the horizon.
But you never know.
Never know.
So I might not have to come to D.C. We could be doing a pod. I could be working out of my basement.
Oh, that's the dream. That's nirvana.
But I just get sized when I see some of these homes and some of these, like this house here, it's for $850 in Ashburn. It's on Bethpage. It's on Bethpage Court. That means it's on Belmont Country Club.
Oh, that's an upgrade just because it says Bethpage.
Yeah.
Think of Bethpage. Whack.
But I mean, like, the backyard's huge. Got a
By the way,
does
the street name mean anything to you?
No,
like
whatsoever.
Sometimes in a neighborhood, so we were looking at this one neighborhood, and there weren't any homes on this street, but I almost should look exclusively on the street. It's meant for me. It's a neighborhood which we like. Flame Leaf Court. Should I move to Flame Leaf Court?
There's no way it's spelled like your last name.
No, it's spelled
F-L-A-M-E.
Yes.
Yeah,
but it's fate.
It would be on brand.
It's very on brand for you. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Jason, I thought you were trying to downsize.
I am, but I'm just getting sized.
Yeah, but he still gets horny for the square footage. He loves it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a danger zone, though, just to casually be looking like we are casually looking, but then you get fired up because a place is like, well, this place is really
stop
nice.
Going to open houses then, Ricky.
Probably should.
You should probably just pump the
but
brakes
you know,
on
it was,
that.
It was a perfect setup because the first game was at 3:05 yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like
so
a lot
time.
Of times, like I really didn't go to any during the fall because Cakes and I are doing pregames.
Yeah.
Redskins games are at 1:00. Almost all your open houses are Sunday 1 to 4.
Right.
That's just when they are.
That's a sweet spot.
Sunday 1 to 4. So can't go. I'm working. Now all of a sudden 3:00 game. It's right 2 miles from the house.
I don't know what I'm going to do. My wife and I talked about
You're conflicted.
It. We talked about it yesterday for a good hour on the way back from Blacksburg, what our future plans are. I mean, I just talk a lot of smack. I'll probably end up staying in this house for a while. It's just a pain in the butt to get everything set up and sell it. And you know, if you sell it pretty quick, do you already have another place you've already purchased?
I know that's the
part. Or are you going to have to rent for 6 months?
Right. You don't have to carry two mortgages.
Or if you find a place you really like and you put a down payment on it and you have this house. And then your house doesn't sell for, you know, 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
And then you're screwed.
Yep.
It's just a pain in the butt. That's what it is.
Yeah. What do people do that when, like your scenario of renting?
Mm-hmm.
So you just like, I'm going to sell the house first.
Right.
Hopefully we'll find a house that we really like during this right. time that you're trying to sell. But boom, yours sells and you rent. What do you do with all your stuff? Because I can't imagine
storage. You got to put in storage.
Yeah, which is more.
Or
money.
Maybe you rent back from the people who bought your house for. Maybe they don't need it right away, and you can rent back from them. I don't know. I mean, I guess there are options.
Sounds like a lot of moving parts.
Oh yeah,
there's a lot going on over there.
I just want a bigger yard, and I don't want to share a driveway anymore.
Right. A fence.
I want a yard.
Yeah.
Preferably with a pool. But if I can't find one, I can't find one.
What's the downside of the shared driveway in reality?
It's just a pain.
Do you ever have like real traffic issues there?
Well, no, because I just know I can't put any more cars in it. And if I have people over, they all have to park on the street. They can't park in my driveway. And, you know, it's just a pain in the butt. My driveway is small and narrow as it is. It's just not a good situation.
Who does shoveling?
Now, I'm hoping.
When it snows. That's got to be an issue. How does that work?
Well, we haven't had a huge snowfall.
I know, but say there's 8 inches when you came home today. Who shovels what? You do half? They do half?
No.
Do the whole thing?
I usually just do it. Or I have, like, one of the kids in the neighborhood just blow it off.
Right.
But hopefully, if I do put my house on the market, that it sells and no one looks at the shared driver and go, I can't buy that.
Right.
Hope that's not a clincher because yeah. I bought it. I didn't care.
Right.
I'm trying to remember. I'm trying to picture your house. Do you use more of the driveway? Like, I feel like, you know what I'm saying? Your garage is further up than the other owner's garage, right?
No. Their house is behind mine.
Oh, theirs is further down.
Yeah, it's further down. So it's one.
They should do the bulk of the
They should.
I know, but some, you know, they both work, and if they're not home and I'm home at 11 o'clock, I mean, I just do it. I'd rather just have the kid down the street come up with a snowball.
You'd rather somebody else do it.
And I'll pay him $25.
Of course.
Besides, you know, your one time when you were looking at property in Florida, when you had a dalliance with ESPN.
Yes, correct.
Have you ever considered moving?
You moved
into a house. It's been a long time since we talked about it. It's basically the exact house which Amy grew up in.
Yeah, it's flip-flopped. It's like the same model, but it's like the mirror image.
So when you go to your in-laws, instead of the living room being on the right side, the living room's on the left side.
Correct.
But everything is identical.
It's all basically the same.
Like step down from the kitchen to your family room slash living room.
Just a mirror image of
same
my house.
Staircase.
Yep. Hmm. Exactly. That's what it is.
Look, everyone's chiming in about where their guy's moving to Phoenix. It's like, go check out.
We know a guy that used to live in Phoenix. Drab T-shirt used to live in Phoenix too. Yeah, he said,
"I wouldn't live in Phoenix."
He said it was like living on the surface of the sun.
Yeah, I couldn't live there.
And he said, "I can't wait to leave here and come back here and have goats and chickens out in Poolsville." I know you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
When are you moving to Kiowa Cakes?
Too pricey. It's too rich for my blood.
It's funny. Somebody,
I'm a pauper there.
A few days ago, somebody. tweeted us at Junks Radio the article written about us in the Baltimore Sun, which was in 1999. And we retweeted it if you want to see the article, 1999. But the guy who did the piece on us wrote about all these different things.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things he talked about during the show was Cakes was talking about his trip to South Carolina.
I'm looking forward to it already. I think it's in July.
You're going in July?
Yeah. Just can't wait. Can't wait to go.
How many years have you gone?
Because
the Wertheimers, did Amy go when she was like 5?
No. She's been going like since she's been in high school. I've been going since we were dating in college.
She's gone basically 30 years in a row.
Yeah.
And you're close to it.
I'm getting up there.
Could you see yourself living there as a retiree?
Well, if I hit the Powerball, Yes.
How's Bitcoin
or living in a just a number, like the smallest house on the island.
I'm not saying you have to live at Kiowa. I'm just
living down south. No. Again, I've talked about this many times. South Carolina is officially out. They don't have card rooms. They don't have they don't have casinos.
What about North Carolina?
They do have card rooms, well, so that's in play.
There you go.
As is Florida.
Or Florida South Carolina is in play. If the laws change.
If the laws change, yes, correct. Yeah. There's no chance I will move somewhere that is not within a half-hour drive of a card room slash casino.
Yeah, you got to have
it. It just won't happen. It's physically impossible.
All right, so North Carolina is in play.
North Carolina is in play. Virginia, out.
Virginia's down, yeah.
At least for now, you're out. The Commonwealth is out.
I actually can't believe a state like Virginia would leave all that money to
Maryland.
I'm
shocked by it.
Yeah, I don't get it either.
All they see is people driving across the bridge to MGM National Harbor and spending their money there.
Or to West Virginia. Like that people too. That live out by Jason go to West Virginia Hollywood Casino all the time.
You could live in Virginia, just make sure you're close to West Virginia.
It's a very good point.
To the one and only.
That is true.
And then you got car
rooms. You know what? Hadn't thought of that possibility.
Yep.
That opens up a world of new possibilities.
Case ain't moving out of O-Town.
Not anytime soon.
He probably isn't. But to answer your question, I have no idea what I'm going to do. Push comes to shove, I'll probably just stay, and then I'll make a decision in 4 or 5 years. But so I don't think anything's imminent. But if something really gets me sized,
you see a good deal,
I might have to jump on it. But it's got to be the right house. You've got to really love
it. Keeping your options open.
I mean, it's got to pop. You got to say this is our spot. This is where we want.
I will say this: if and when I do ever move, I'm moving on to a freaking cul-de-sac or a dead-end road.
I'm on a cul-de-sac. Right. It's great.
I'm moving on to something that does not have
not a highway,
crazy-ass traffic out in front of my house.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I slept on when I purchased that property.
But you kind of live on a golf course. Kind of.
Not really.
If you cross the street and went through the woods.
It's an eighth of a mile away, and I hate golf. So what good does that do me?
You would
does me none.
I was going to say, you would never actually buy a house right on a golf course.
There would be no upside
no
for me.
No point for you.
No, yeah. None whatsoever.
Windows getting smashed all the time.
Yeah, why would I want that?
People slicing the ball.
Yeah, why would I want to yell at golfers to stay off my lawn and don't come in and chase their X-outs that they've hit out of bounds?
Yeah, because this house on Bethpage Court that I'm looking at, I know exactly where it is.
Yeah.
It's on the 18th fairway of Belmont Country Club.
Right.
It definitely gets pummeled by
of course
golf
it does.
Balls.
The siding is so banged up.
Yeah, but you get free balls every once in a while. People don't want to chase their balls.
Yeah, that's right. It's in your kitchen.
He's too snobby to use balls that are hit into his backyard.
Yeah,
he's got to have fresh sillies.
I know exactly where that is.
All right, coming up next, we'll switch gears. We will talk to Lars Eller. Center Ice with Lars Eller as we talk some Caps hockey next here on the Junkies.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106 on the Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. And joining us right now for Center Ice with Lars Eller is Lars Eller. He's driven by AAA. Go to AAA.com and hit the road with confidence. Good morning, Lars. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing great. How are you?
Very good. You know, your guy TJ Oshie gets named to the All-Star team. He gets to play in St. Louis. It's the first All-Star nod for him. Gets to play in front of the crowd that supported him for the first 7 years of his career. That's a pretty cool honor for Osh.
Yeah, really cool. I know he has a ton of fans in that city, going back to his early days. So I think a lot of people are probably really happy to see him there as well.
You know, he's not necessarily talked about as much as, you know, the heavy hitters on your team, like Ovi and others. Talk about why he is a special player, though.
He does a lot of things. He's he's like the glue guy who you need him on the team to. Sometimes he can make a hit to get the team going if we're a little sleepy. He's one of the hardest workers. He wins face-offs. He recovers a ton of pucks. Very good forechecker, and he certainly has finish in his game too. You know, comes up with some clutch goals. He just does a little bit of everything, I think.
So Lars, it's been a very good season thus far. Are Caps fans getting a little greedy because they dropped two straight, and it seems like the sky is falling? You know, are you at the emotional low point of your season after dropping the game to the Devils on home ice over the weekend?
Yeah, I think if you look at the game, how we played it, I would probably say so. It was probably one of our emotional low points. We didn't play with the emotion we needed to win games. And playing against teams that are at the bottom of the league, standing-wise, you're gonna lose games. I think they beat Tampa last night. So, you can't take those points for granted. We paid for that the other night, and every team goes through, like I say, every team every season they go through some stretches where they're really not playing at their best. And hopefully, we had some meetings yesterday, and we talked about things, and I think everybody feels bad about how that game played out, and I don't think we played particularly well in the last little while here. So I'd like to see us, I really like to see us turn this around and come out, finish out with a good feeling about ourselves before the break. Here we still got three games to feel good about our game again.
Yeah, you're right. Devils beat the Lightning, who had won 10 straight. And the Devils are last in their division, but they're kind of hot right now. Beat you guys, beat the Lightning. I mean, that's sports in general. I mean, they're professionals,
yeah,
too.
And it wouldn't be – I don't think it would be good for the sport or good for the league if you were going to know the outcome of every game before it even started.
Oh, I wish I did.
We'd be billionaires, Lars, if that were the case. I wish we knew.
Well, I'll tell you what, the Red Wings got – punked again last night.
We should be betting against them every
why
night.
Are we, you know, Lars, why am I not betting against the Red Wings every single
Lars,
time they play?
We'll keep you out of the betting portion of that. We'll talk about that post show.
That's a question you got to ask yourself.
Right, we're gonna start betting against the Red Wings every night. I know that you don't really care about that.
God, I'm stupid.
Getting back to those meetings you said you were having after the loss to the Devils, I know something that probably came up is that in that loss to Jersey for the eighth time in the last nine games, the Caps have allowed the game's first goal. Is that something that Coach Reardon and the rest of the staff has tried to stress you guys, hey, we can't keep giving up the first goal and getting in these early game holes.
Yes, that was something we've talked about. And I think it comes down to the attitude and the mentality you bring out from the beginning of the game. And I know I said these words before, but I'm going to say it again, that, you know, sometimes we kind of wait to see what kind of game the other team is going to bring. And then we're going to, you know, we're going to match it, or we're going to, bring whatever game we need just to get by, to win and get 2 points out of it, instead of setting the tone right from the start of the game, which I'd like to, you know, see us do a little more, because I know we can do that. It's definitely something we're aware of, I'll say.
Center ice with Lars Eller, driven by AAA. Go to AAA.com and hit the road with confidence. So the Hurricanes are in your building tonight, your third matchup with them since late December. This is a big one in the Metro, with the Canes trying to chase down the Islanders and the Pens in the standings, and you guys trying to put that loss to the Devils behind you. So big division game tonight at Capital One.
Yeah, I think tonight is we have every reason to be emotionally, you know, involved right from the beginning. It's it's a team we played a tough series against last spring. So I think there's been some playoff like intensity to the games we played against them this year. And we know we're going to play an opponent where we need our best to win. So I think tonight we're going to see a very different team than we saw the other night against New Jersey.
Lars, sad news. Your January heater is officially over. You rang the post in the Flyers game. I thought you were going to get one there. No goal against the Devils. Two straight games in 2020 with no Lars Eller goals. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, a bit of a slump, but I guess that just means we got to start a new one now.
That's right. Come out hot tonight.
Yeah.
Well, I think that tonight, I feel good about tonight, because I think you were just kind of overlooking the Devils because they're poopy. They're last in the division. You played down to your opponent.
Yeah.
Didn't work out.
Now's an up night, you think?
Yeah. Tonight's that's a good night at home. Yep. I like it.
Yeah. I got a good feeling, too. I'm looking forward to the game tonight. It's going to be one of those really fun games to play.
Now, Lars,
I think it's going to be a good crowd in the building, too.
I know you look at just the next game on the schedule usually, but earlier in this interview, you referenced the fact that there will be a break for the All-Star game. You get a 9-day break. What is on the Eller family docket for that long break?
A lot of family time. I think I know in the past, we've always traveled somewhere warm, you know, somewhere south, and spend at least 3-4 days. But this year, we're actually going to stay in D.C. and do some things here. We'll probably do like one night away, go out of the city. But otherwise, going to stay here. No, you know, we travel so much during the season.
Staycation.
It's going to be a week in Washington for me and my family.
By the way, does Lars Eller consume the NFL playoffs? Are you an NFL playoffs guy or no?
A little bit. I didn't watch anything yesterday, but we're at like the semifinals, right? So I think I'm going to watch those, but I'm definitely not a regular season. I don't watch during the regular season, though. But now down to the playoffs, semifinals, and the Super Bowl, I'll probably most likely watch that, yeah.
All right, Lars, I'm going to quiz you. Who won this weekend's game between the Titans and the Ravens?
The Titans.
Oh, so he sounds like he knows it. How about the Packers and the Seahawks?
The Packers.
Okay, so he knows what's
up. He knows results.
He's probably in fantasy league.
I mean, he doesn't know who Derrick Henry is, I would guess, but he knows the results.
All right, Lars, always fun talking to you. We'll talk to you next week. Best of luck tonight.
That's it for the quiz?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to nail them all.
All right, no, I'm going to – who's the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers?
Oh, it's too easy.
I know. Rodgers, Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, okay. He eventually got it. All right, good. He's learning the NFL as he goes.
Yeah.
All right, appreciate it, Lars.
All right, Lars. Good luck tonight, buddy.
Thank you.
That's Lars Eller. He's driven by AAA. Go to AAA.com and hit the road with confidence.
Am I feeling a free roll bet for everybody if Lars Eller doesn't score tonight? I'm kind of feeling that, but I don't know. He's not a prolific scorer, but he did get off 2020 off to a good start. Nothing in the last two games, but that's okay.
I asked this to the listeners last week. I'm gonna play the Caps tonight, but I need another team to – I like Moneyline parlays.
Right.
I need another team to – I'm thinking Blues against the Ducks tonight at home.
Okay.
But give me another team I can parlay the Caps with.
Well, the bets are going to roll in.
Well, it's a short card. There's only five games.
Okay. By the way, on Saturday, I saw your boy Hockey Boy at Lifetime Fitness in Gaithersburg.
Right.
Uh-huh. He's 61 years old. Yeah. How is he going
by How long are you going to go by boy? I mean, until he's in his grave?
Well, he doesn't go by boy. Skippy called him Hockey Boy.
Okay, well, that makes more sense. Yeah.
I don't think he came up with his own nickname.
By the way, in Valdez over the weekend, I saw after the Ravens lost, you were definitely going at it on Twitter with at least one gambler. I don't even know who it was.
Well, no, they just, for some reason, all right, this is the issue that I have. For some reason, some guy asked me what they should do with a Ravens future ticket that they had.
Right.
And if they should hedge or not. And so I told him, probably not, because you're going to waste all your profit hedging your way to the Super Bowl or AFC Championship game. And then Skippy or Doug or whoever is on the Big Fat Winners, whoever it is on the Big Fat Winners Twitter, just seems to interject themselves into a conversation that didn't involve them.
Who was? So it was,
I don't know.
It was definitely Doug.
Well, but Valdez's response was something like, why don't you just move to Vegas?
Yeah, you know everything. You're so silly. Just go. Like, why are you wasting your time?
Arguing with you. Yeah,
arguing with me. You're so money. You should be on Vegas crushing it.
I liked your response.
Go be a millionaire.
Well, that guy, Doug, he has been extremely hot.
Good for him. So then why is he wasting his breath with
because
me?
Because he likes the attention.
Of course.
That's what he wants. It's exactly what he wants.
Go be rich in Vegas. But crush the books like Vegas Dave.
But he picked the Ravens, too. he had a big bet on the Ravens.
Right.
Was he claiming that he didn't?
I don't know. He's
a liar.
He's wasting my time.
Everything. Oh, wow. Damn,
he
Doug.
Thinks his way onto the station is to attack other Intercom employees.
Damn, right. Dougie. They're calling Dougie a liar. Wow, that's hardcore.
All right, phone number is 800-636-1067. You want to chime in on anything? Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, we will open up the entertainment page. I believe the Oscar nominations are out.
They're out.
Keep it here.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.